Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Well, God, thank you for every person who's here, and Lord, the fact that you have a great message to give us today, a message of hope, and it's a message of joy, and I just ask that every single person here would understand how much they are loved by you. So I ask now to make your word and your truth very clear to us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, music is such an important part of Christmas. Music helps us feel the celebration and the contemplation of the holiday. For the month of December, every worship service, we've looked at one well-known Christmas song, and we've, looked at some of the history behind that song, and we've looked to incorporate that with, well, what does Scripture say? And today's Christmas song is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I'm going to give you a little background, a little history behind this, and then we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 and see what God's Word says. So try to imagine Christmas without music, or even Christmas without the celebration of Jesus' birth. That's hard to do, isn't it? Well, if you lived in England in the mid-1600s, that's exactly what you would have experienced. The Puritan Parliament and Oliver Cromwell, they outlawed the singing of Christmas songs and the celebration of the birth of Jesus. They were on a mission to cleanse the nation from the most decadent excesses in their nation. And Christmas was at the top of their list, believe it or not. It wasn't that they didn't believe in the birth of Jesus. They just didn't think that the story of the birth of Jesus or Scripture ever instructed us to celebrate it. Well, their Grinch spirit didn't last too long. After 18 years, those laws were all reversed, and the enthusiasm for celebrating Christmas had this huge surge in their nation. Charles Wesley was part of that surge. He wrote the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He wrote, by the way, over 6,000 hymns in his life, making him one of the most prolific hymn writers of all history. This particular song is one of the most popular. People love singing it. You can also hear it in a couple of famous movies, It's a Wonderful Life and also A Charlie Brown Christmas. So there you go. So Wesley wrote the lyrics to this song on his walk to church on Christmas Day, 1739. I mean, is that crazy? On his walk to church. No wonder he wrote 6,000 of these hymns, right? He can write them as he's walking along. So a couple things inspired him as he was walking along that day. The first one was he'd only been a Christian for about 1 year. So if you can imagine, right, his own faith is fresh in his own heart, and he's going now to celebrate his Savior, and he's filled with optimism and joy. The second thing that inspired him is that as he's walking along now the sidewalks in London, he's surrounded by historic buildings, people are walking all around him, and the air is literally filled with the celebration of the day by the ringing of bells. Now, it wasn't just like one solitary bell ringing. Like, that feels a little ominous, doesn't it? If you ever hear that, you better like get on your phone and see what is going on. Something good is not happening. No, and it wasn't just like a couple of bells ringing. No, literally, the entire city was filled with this magnificent cacophony of ringing bells all around him as he's just walking down the sidewalk. And it was a call for everyone to recognize today is a day of great celebration. Nobody miss it. This is an awesome, awesome day. I mean, do you feel that excitement? Can you imagine walking down that road and like the bells are just ringing all over the place? The song begins and ends with this phrase, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." Hark is not a word that we use very often in modern language today. Here's what it means. It means listen to me or pay attention. Maybe you want to use that sometime in the next few days with your family. The angel is urging humanity to to pay attention. Listen to me. I have the most important information to share with you. So let's have that attitude of anticipation as I read these words from Luke chapter 2. This is the angel pronouncing to the shepherds this amazing good news. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And I want to point out three parts in these verses that we want to pay attention to and listen to today. The first one is that the angel said, "Fear not." Don't be afraid. Why were these shepherds afraid? There's a couple reasons. The first reason is that the shepherds are just minding their own business on a dark night, and this angel burst into their experience. That was petrifying. The shepherds were supposed to watch and protect their sheep. That's what they were trained to do. They were responsible for these sheep. They had an eye out for threats all the time. Having an angel burst into the sky, radiating the glory of heaven, was petrifying. So the angel said in a calming way, "Fear not." But could it be that there's also a deeper meaning to fear not? A second reason why the shepherds and no one in humanity ever has to be afraid anymore. I think there is, because perfect love had entered humanity. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. And don't you think it's fair to say that humanity lives under a cloud of fear? You know, and here's a couple examples. 1971, Elvis, he's standing off stage about to receive this award for the 10 most outstanding men in the nation, and he has to give a speech. And he turns to this guy standing next to him off stage and he says, "I am scared to death." Woody Allen is famous for saying, "I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Right? Everybody relates to fear in some way. And the angel is saying, "Fear not." Like, what are you afraid of? Afraid of running out of money or being lonely, rejected, afraid of losing respect or losing control or losing your dignity, maybe afraid of failure? See, the angel wanted everyone to pay attention to a message that resounds throughout time. You do not have to live in fear any longer, because I'm here telling you the best possible news there could ever be. And that's the second part of the message of the angel that we need to pay attention to. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." The best possible news. Well, what is good news? Good news means everything that you know is about to change for the better. Your suffering, it doesn't have to define you anymore. Your fear doesn't have to motivate you anymore. Your unspoken insecurities and your unmet longings can finally be resolved. Humanity had been waiting for centuries to experience relief from hardship, relief from death. And the angel was saying to them, "Your wait is over. I bring you good news of great joy." And then the third part of what the angel said that we're going to pay attention to is, what is that good news? And this is it, that a Savior is born. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The Savior of the world had arrived. Why is Jesus called a Savior? Well, if you've ever sinned against God, then God knows you need a Savior. Only God can forgive sins against God. And since Jesus is God, Only Jesus can mend that broken relationship. A Savior was born. You're probably familiar with this story. My goal isn't really to teach you new things about it, but to help you pay attention with heightened awareness to what this angel was saying. Don't be afraid anymore. I bring you good news of great joy. The Savior is born. Sometimes a story helps us pay attention. So here's a famous story from Paul Harvey that might help you understand what I'm talking about. Once upon a time, there was a man, a good, decent, and kind man. He wasn't a Scrooge. He was mostly a good man, generous to his family, honest in his dealings with others. But he didn't believe in all that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas. He did not believe that God entered the world as a baby. It didn't make sense to him. And he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story that God came to earth to save people. So he told his wife, "I'm truly sorry that this is going to distress you, but I'm not going to go with you to the Christmas Eve services with you. I'd feel like a hypocrite." Instead, he said, "I'd much rather stay at home. I'll wait up for you." And so he stayed home while they went off to the midnight service. Shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall, and he went over to the window to look out at the flurries getting heavier and heavier outside, and then went back to his fireside chair and sat down to read. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, and then another, and sort of a thump, thump, thump. And at first, he thought somebody was throwing snowballs at his house. So he got up to investigate. He goes out and looks out the front door window, and he sees a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in a storm, and in a desperate attempt to find shelter, they were trying to fly through his landscape window. Well, he couldn't just let these poor birds lie there and freeze. His heart went out to them. And so he remembered the barn where his kids keep their pony. And so he thought, the barn would be a warm shelter. So I'm going to direct the birds into the barn. So quickly he put on his coat and his boots, and he trudged through the deepening snow, opened the barn doors wide, turned on the barn lights so that the birds would know the way in. But the birds didn't come in. Oh, so then he figured, well, food will help. I'll entice them into the barn with some breadcrumbs. So he went into the house, gets some breadcrumbs, makes a trail of breadcrumbs across the top of the snow leading into the barn with the doors open wide, the lights on, and to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs as well. They didn't come in. Well, he tried to catch them, and that didn't work. He tried to shoo them into the barn by waving his arms, and that didn't work either. They just scattered every direction other than going into the barn. All this time, the birds were suffering. They were freezing, and they were hungry, and they were afraid. They were afraid of the storm, and that's when he realized they were also afraid of him. See, to them, he reasoned, I am strange and terrifying. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me. And I'm not trying to hurt them, but I'm trying to save them. But how? Any move I make tends to frighten them and confuses them. And they just won't follow me. They won't be led and they won't be shooed because they fear me. If only I could be a bird. Well, I could mingle with them and speak their language. Then I could tell them not to be afraid. Then I could show them the way to safety and warmth in the barn. But I would have to be one of them, wouldn't I? So they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. And the sound reached his ears above the sound of all the wind blowing. And he stood there listening to those bells ring, listening to the bells ringing the good news of Christmas. And the message of Christmas, it hit him with clarity. And he sank to his knees in the snow. Has the message of Christmas ever hit you with that kind of clarity? Have you ever acknowledged, I do need saving. I'm fluttering around, lost and confused. And I see how Jesus came to show me the way to salvation. If you've acknowledged and seen that before, then Christmas is a celebration holiday for sure. Because it's the day we recognize and we remember and we give praise to Jesus for leaving heaven and eternity, clothing himself in flesh, and coming in as a little bitty baby. What a thing to celebrate so that he could save us. And maybe it's never hit you with clarity before, but as you think about it, it's hitting you with clarity today. And, you know, you knew some things about Jesus, but you've never had a moment where you said, oh, I get that. He came to save me and to lead me away. And maybe like that man in the story, you want to follow him. If you want to do that today, it's not really complicated. The rest of us would be really excited for you to do that. And I'm going to lead a prayer here in a couple of moments. And you could pray that prayer and give your life to Jesus. You simply have to surrender and say, help me. I'm going to follow. And then for anyone who's a new believer in Jesus, we have some Bibles out in the lobby and we want you to take one. It's at a table that says, start here, because we want to give you a gift to get you going in your walk with Jesus. You know, if you're finding your heart stirred by the story of Jesus coming to save you and lead you, but you're not yet ready, you're still thinking about that, I want to invite you to just keep coming to church. The sermons, the songs, and even the church community will help you in your walk, and it'll help you understand what this Christian faith is all about. You're welcome here to investigate Jesus. If you would you bow your heads and let's pray together? And if you would like to say to Jesus that you want to follow him and say thank you for leading you to salvation, you can just say these words in your heart as I pray. Jesus, thank you for coming to earth to save me. Thank you for loving me so much that you would leave eternity and become a baby, vulnerable and so small, so that you could grow up and show me the way. And thank you for loving me so much that you would die for me. I surrender my life to you. I will follow you where you lead me. And I'll do it with gladness in my heart. Thank you for showing me the way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to close our service today by singing a song together and lighting our candles. So go ahead and get your candles out if you would. We use candles to physically show and depict that Jesus is the light of the world. And to start our candle lighting, we're going to have some people come down here to the front, and you guys get to be the ones who go down the rows and light some other people's candles. And so I'm going to invite two groups of people up to the front to join me, and then the rest of you, once they all get here, you guys get, the rest of you who are not coming up, you get to clap and go crazy for them. So here are the two categories of people that I want to come up front. If you have given your life to Jesus this year in 2018, I'd like for you to come down front and stand across the front. If you have helped someone become a Christian this year in 2018, I want you to come up here as well, and you guys get to start our candle lighting as we conclude our service today. So, I'm going to light my candle, and I need some people to start coming down here, and you guys just line across the front, and I'm going to light my candle with yours. So we've got one already, and if anybody else, you guys just keep on coming down. And the rest of you guys can just clap and go crazy, because they're representing so every single one of these people either represents that they have given their life to Jesus or they have led somebody to give their life to Jesus this year. And so they'll get to just kind of turn around and show you their lights as the way to start this all off. So you guys don't leave yet. We just want to be grateful for a moment and acknowledge and celebrate the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. And every single life is a precious, precious life to Jesus. You guys are awesome. Now, if you guys would just kind of start going down the rows and start lighting the candles, please lean the unlit candle to the lit candle so you don't get wax on yourself. And then we're going to start singing Silent Night together.